My name is Stephanie Bagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Our speakers today include Eric Gamma and Dirk Fumer. Dirk Fumer is a senior software developer at IBM Rational in Zurich, Switzerland. He is a member of the Rational Team Concert Project Management Committee and leads the development on the Agile Planning component. Dirk was a member of the Eclipse Architecture Team, led the Java development tooling user interface component, and has been working as a senior developer on the generic workbench. Eric Gamma is a member of the Eclipse Project Management Committee and leads the Eclipse Java Development Tools project. He is also a member of the Gang of Four, which is known for their book, Design Patterns, Elements of Reusable Object-Oriented Software. Eric Gamma is an IBM Distinguished Engineer and the site lead of the IBM OTI Lab in Zurich, Switzerland. He has a doctorate in computer science from the University of Zurich. Today we will be having a web conference, and you can join by signing on to www.webdialogues.com/join, and the conference ID is 3133836. Again, that is webdialogues.com/join, conference ID 3133836. If you are unable to join in on the web conference, please listen in on the phone. And now I will introduce our first speaker, Dirk Fumer. Go ahead, Dirk.
Thanks for the introduction. Hello, everybody. We gave some thought about how we want to run this today's meeting, and besides giving you an introduction to Agile Planning, we would really like to get a more interactive session going where the participants are able to ask all types of questions when we try to answer them as good as we can, and maybe sometimes give you an interactive demo if they are specific questions about how certain functions are working in Agile Planning in RTC, and where it makes absolutely more sense to show that live instead of explaining it lengthily. So what we would like to do is that we really, at the beginning of the session, try gathering questions which you are interested in getting answers from our side, because us running a generic demo or showing you some slides, I think is not something you want to get heard from us, because this is something you can easily get on the RTC or Jazz.net website and through the documentation. So we would really would like to make this a little bit more specific in terms of what we will show and present you today. So I think we are open for questions. If do you have any specific questions around Agile Planning in general or Agile Planning in RTC, how to use the tool, how to set up the tool, what is the methodology, or what are the key elements behind Agile Planning? Questions could be, what do you recommend if a project wants to get Agile, how do they best start, or something like that.
I just want to let everyone know that your mics are unmuted, so if you have any questions at any time, feel free to speak up.
Hi, this is Shelby Phillips with Accenture. Can you guys hear me all right?
We can hear you. Hi,
okay.
Shelby.
Yeah, hi. I had some questions around when you're doing an epic story and you're trying to tie lower-level stories to those stories or tying lower-level tasks to stories as children work items, I was wondering if you could kind of walk through what a plan would look like that had maybe an epic story with lower-level stories that spanned different sprints or different releases, and kind of best practices on when you're trying to tie, you know, children work items to more parent planning activities.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Because I've just run into a few issues trying to do it just kind of drag and dropping, where I try and plan a parent for a particular sprint, and then the children don't necessarily go with it, and maybe there's a better way that I'm aware of how to do that.
Okay. Are you talking Web or Eclipse? What's the primary environment are you defining?
I primarily use the Eclipse environment.
Okay.
This is Daniel Martin with HSBC. I hate to interrupt, but what was that conference ID again?
For the VAT conference?
It's 3133836.
All right, 3133836?
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Are there additional questions? What we would like before we start answering the question is sometimes better way to get a little bit of an overview of the question so that we at the end of the day are not jumping around too much so we can keep them together in terms of the topics they are related to.
Hi, this is Mark Ingebretson from IBM STG. I've got a customer who's got a very complex set of timelines and iterations, and they're starting to use the RTC2O plan types. And when they go to look at their plan tree in the Team Artifacts Navigator view, it's becoming very cluttered and hard to find their information.
Mm-hmm.
I found that in the forum that you can uncheck a release is scheduled in a timeline, and that should make it disappear, the navigator, but that has not worked for us. Do you know of any other way to control how the plan, top-level plans appear in that navigator?
So I think no, these questions are so complicated and more interesting.
Yeah.
We should rather do with one after the other, right? If we collect them all, we might forget them.
Okay.
Why don't we start with Shelby's question?
Okay, makes sense to me.
And then we go into that one because
I'm
your scribe, right? And I'm typing.
Okay, no, I'm scribing as well, so it doesn't really matter. So let's start with the first one, right? The first one was then regarding what do we do, how do we support the breakdown of epics into stories, and how would we recommend assigning them to different sprints, and how would we then further break down the stories into tasks? First of all, if you look at Scrum or Agile methods in general, they recommend to use epics if you have more work, or if you want to keep work together that spawns several iterations. That's one of the key things when you start making an epic. So what I would like to demo that. I think it's the easiest using a setup and then see how we would usually do that assignment to the different sprints and stuff like that. Okay, what you usually do in the Eclipse client, right? You can look at whatever you do either in two different, and that's not only true for the Eclipse client, it works one-to-one for the Rich client the same way, and the Web client the same way as well, is that if you look at a plan, you can visualize the plan in various ways. One is a work breakdown where we really break down the work in according to different to the parent-child relationship. The other one is a very common view is to view the items that are on the list on the plan as a flat list and use a stack ranking schema to really put them into a prioritized order. For the work breakdown, breaking an epic down into different stories, the best view that I would recommend to do so is the work breakdown view mode, because it really lets you look at the work items from a parent-child relationship. So the first one we want to do is we want to add a new epic to that one, right? Because that's the one we want to break down. So we create a new.
You have no epic. Permission to save the plan, you know.
Okay. Let me one, two, break down. Yeah, that's good.
And the reason for that one is that I'm not a team member. So let's pick that and use goal as the user. Thanks for pointing that out. We should be able to save that now. Okay, now we have an epic on the plan. And the next step we want to do is really go and create the child stories. This is a child with an epic. Right, and some description. And we want to create a new one. This is some. Okay. Oh, and there's no need to save, but I'm saving right now. To make things the child of something, right, you have different possibilities. First of all, you can use the tab key. That's only available in the rich UI, because in the web UI, tab is not something you usually bind to something. Or you simply use drag and drop and drop it onto it. And what we did by this is we really create a work breakdown structure and say this epic goes into, is broken down into two stories. And that can be more stories, and it can even go and have child stories, sub-stories of stories. And now the question, how do we best assign that to a string? Right, from a, if you have broken it down that way, what you usually don't do is you keep, usually you keep the epic assigned to the release iteration because the epic spawns more than one iteration. You usually don't assign it to an iteration, you keep it as the inside the iteration. And then what you usually do, decide which story you want to do in which sprint. And assigning that one can either be done using the best thing to do that is you really use the plan 4 in the rich UI, and that is something that will come in the next maintenance release for the web UI as well and say, okay, this one I do in sprint S2, and this one I really want to look into the sprint S3. And that's how we usually assign them. What you can do alternatively is you can use that view and drag and drop them onto the different folders really to see, okay, that epic goes into there and that epic goes into there. So usually if you start, that one shows up somewhere here, right? And then you can usually use drag and drop to put it into the right story, that folder. There was the question whether all the children are moved or the children are not moved. If you move stuff inside the iteration folder hierarchy currently here on the plan, we usually move only that item that you selected. If you want to move more than one item, what we usually recommend is really make this explicit in the work breakdown structure and really say, okay, if I want to move those two plan forward to the sprint S4, you select both and move them forward to S4. That's how we usually move more than one, because if we always move something and all its children, it's not really absolutely clear when if that is always the right thing to do. There's one gesture where we support that, moving all the children with you and ask you basically if you really want to do that, and that's the case if you open two plans in parallel and move something from plan to plan. And that's usually if you roll forward a story to a next sprint, there's a gesture is usually you take the whole story because you weren't able to do that, and really take the story and drag and drop it onto the next sprint plan. And there, the gesture we anticipated is usually that you want to roll forward the story with all its children to the next sprint. What we have on the plan and what we really want to look into is making that more user-decidable, that we ask more in terms of what do you really want to do, right? If you move forward the story and it has already children underneath, that we go in more situation and ask if you want to drag the children over to the next sprint as well. We know that this is not always the case, and there are situations where you really want to move forward everything. And the only thing I currently can recommend is really in the Eclipse plan using the context menu, selecting the one explicitly you want to move forward, because as I said, if you have an Epic with 10 stories underneath, it's not usually the case that you roll forward an Epic, because the Epic stays with the release, and then you roll forward a certain kind of selected stories. Does that answer the question? Or is there anything else you want to see demoed or explain?
Well, I could imagine that how does an Epic look like in a sprint plan, right? When it, the children spawn more than one.
What we usually do now, that the both, and if you see the S4, that's the S4 sprint, and the Epic is still assigned to the release, and from here you can go and open that S4 plan, which we have to create because it doesn't exist. Make it short. So, and if you look at the plan items view, then you see exactly that you have the two stories on the plan, and what we do there is, because the two stories are bound to an Epic, and it's important for you, even if you do the sprint and the Epic is not assigned to that sprint, that you have that information that the Epic is basically the parent of these two stories. And what we do in these situations is, if you look at the work breakdown structure, we always complete the work breakdown structure to the parent chain, so we always render all parents. If they don't belong to the plan, we grade them a little bit and put this little arrow on the left side, which you can hover over, which gives you the explanation why that item is rendered on the plan but is not considered as something that goes into the progress or the load or the burn down charts, but is still important information to be viewed on that plan. And here the explanation is that that work item is planned for iteration 4.4 and therefore does not belong to the S4 sprint, right, because that's really a certain sprint iteration and the other one is the overall release iteration. But these items are always shown on the plan, right, to make the context complete for the people looking at something, because the sprint plan itself is really important information that these two stories go on to the same parent, because they contribute to the same Epic at the end of the day.
So shall we just answer your question?
Yeah, I think that's great. Just one follow-up on that. The JUnit product backlog, the plan you were looking at earlier?
Yeah. That one?
Yeah, so I see here you can actually, you're looking at the 4.4 release, and then you've got your sprint iterations underneath that nested. How do you create this view here so that you can actually see everything together? Because I've only really been able to see individual iterations, but I've never seen it this way. This is a good view.
Basically, in 2.0, you create a plan for that iteration. We can look at the plan definition, right? That's the JUnit product backlog configure. You configure the plan as a JUnit product backlog for that project area and the team area you want to have it for. That's for the JUnit team. And if you create it for a team area, usually use the team backlog. And if you create it for a product, you create a product backlog plan. That's how you currently do it in 2.0. That will change a little bit in the next maintenance release, because we got feedback from customers and users that the plan time is a little bit too complex for them. So we made it an advanced option and really tried to do the right thing for the customers or for the people that create plans, depending on which iterations they select and if they select a project area or a team area. So in future releases, you only create a plan for a release, and then we create a release backlog for you, because we assume if you create a plan for release iteration, you are interested in seeing an overview over the release and not a specific sprint.
Okay. Yeah, because I got a little confused on what are the options there? Release plan, iteration plan, team backlog, and then whatever's in that drop-down, I got a little confused about which one I was supposed to be using.
Yeah, and that will disappear for the maintenance release. The option will be still there, but as an advanced option if you know what you're doing, right? Because there are some situations where it makes perfectly sense, you allowing to pick the plan type, because we allow you to configure your own plan types in the process specification. And if you configure something weird where we don't know exactly if it's meant for a release or for an iteration or whatsoever, or you even have your customized iteration hierarchy, it makes absolutely sense to pick that. But for the out-of-the-box Scrum setup and for the, I think, 90% of the other setups, you will not be forced to know anything about client types anymore.
And I guess, you know, but if you want to still see this view today, you know, we have create the release plan. Right. It depends on process template, right? In the Scrum, it's called
Team Backlog, and in the Open Up, it's called Team Release Plan.
Great, thanks.
You want to go to Mark's question?
Yeah.
About plan types as well?
I think there is a good news, as you already see. This one is the M2 drop of the 2.0002. And one thing we improved, and that was basically a feedback we got that most customers don't really find the stuff under all plans, or if you have lots of timelines, they get much cluttered. And what we basically did is we started to get the same functionality we have in the web UI into the rich UI. So what you have now is you have one node here that is called recently viewed plans that lists the last plans you looked at. Right? This gives you most of the time and easy access to the plans because from time to you are usually looking at the same set of N plans, right? You are not jumping back and forth between hundreds of plans, right? Then the next node lists your current plans, that are the plans that are assigned to the current iterations, and where you are a member of the team area that owns the plan. And then the last one, that shows you all current plans. In this example, they are the same because Sol is a member of all of these. That gives you access, first of all, to the ones you recently viewed, then to the current plans, my current plans, and then to all current plans. And then we still kept the old hierarchy we had before under the plans node, and that's now covered under all plans, which really gives you a drill-down structure to get access to all plans. And that's what we think makes accessing the plans much more easier, especially the recently viewed plans option, because that allows you to basically browse the 5, 6, 7 plans you are usually used to as well. Another option that something that most customers and users don't know is you can always, if you are not satisfied with what we show here and you have two plans you want to keep forever and want to always get back to it and don't want to have this recently used stack, then you can always go and take a plan, for example, that JUnit Sprint backlog, and drop it onto the favorites section. And inside the favorites, you can drop every plan, create your own structure, and structure the plans inside there, inside the favorites, together with the group items, how you want to see it and how you want to have easy access to that. The next question is the flag of release is scheduled. The scenario you described is that you started with a... In general, when you create a plan, the iterations which we allow you to pick from to create a plan are those which are tagged to be... that they create a release is scheduled for those iterations. Now, if you have already created a plan and then removed the flag afterwards, we decided that we still show you the plan, you can always go if you say, okay, the release at that iteration was not, we mistakenly marked it as creating or having a release scheduled with it, and we created plans for them, and the plans are now obsolete, you can always go and delete the plan. Deleting the plan will not delete any work items or touch any work items in the system. It basically deletes the query which we have associated with to find the work items for that plan. So if you go and delete the plan, the only stuff that disappears is the plan record as well, and any attached pages, for example, the overview page will go away and any additional attached pages. But we will not touch any work items. So if you have mistakenly created a plan, you can easily delete it again. But we always show plans you created even if you afterwards remove the tag from the releases scheduled for that iteration. And that's the current behavior. If you think that we should filter them or provide a filter, which would be a fair request, all I can currently say is having an enhancement request, and then we can put it onto the backlog and decide when we can get to it. But in general, we always thought, right, the person that creates the plan is usually not in control of the flag, which is on the iteration defining if a release is scheduled for it or not. And if we then start filtering it out, it would be confusing for users if they suddenly disappear and they don't know why. And at the end of the day, they aren't really disappearing. They are filtered. So did this cover the second question?
This is Mark. Going back to the navigator, I think that's an outstanding solution to the problem. I think our users are going to be extremely happy with that new navigator tree. It's going to help an awful lot. Nicely done.
Okay. Thanks. No more questions. You want to talk about other enhancements to do for 202?
We can, yeah.
So other enhancements we do for 2.002 are
maybe background. Why do enhancements in maintenance release,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So the first question is why aren't we only bug fixing for a maintenance release? And one of the major reasons for that one is that with 2.0 and the feedback we got from customers and basically from the sales team, we recognized that there are issues around usability. For example, one of them was Team Artifact Navigator and how people find plans. Users found it too complicated to create a plan record. They found it a little bit too complicated to know something about plan types. They would like to have more navigation options, for example, in the web UI and the rich UI to find related plans. And it was not so easy to detect, for example, in the web UI, and I think most people might not even know if you open up a plan in the web UI, right, and go onto the plan items page, we have this edit button here on the left side, which allowed you to put the plan into an edit mode. We could start doing something with the work items, select them, and then, for example, demote them and stuff like that. And there were lots of users, because we had this special mode for it, that weren't really aware of that the plan has different modes and different editing capabilities. First, an in-place editing capability only in terms of changing the fields here, right, that are shown in the columns. Then the next capability was that you were able to open up an in-place, having an in-place editor, right, that lets you allow some the most important aspects of a work item in place, right. Then the next one was opening up the work item and then putting the whole plan into the edit mode. That was, at the end of the day, a little bit confusing for the customers as well. And what comes with 2.002 is that the edit mode up there is removed totally, that the checkboxes are very lightweight shown always, so that the user has an affordance that they can do a lot with the plan items on the plan. that we make the in-place edit mode more explicit so that it's easier to discover that people can really in-place edit a work item and change something and are not forced, even in the best way, to go over to the work item editor and then go back, which requires lots of clicks around that one.
And one goal is, of course, I guess, to make it also much more good to use or also to use that the Eclipse client, right?
Yeah. Because there we are still lacking some actions because we don't have the notation of a selection in the web UI. We now started thinking about how we can get something that as rich as a context menu inside the web UI by following more web UI-ish metaphors and not basically showing a context menu because it doesn't really follow the web UI philosophy. Then we added new means to improve the navigation between clients. So in 2.002, you will be able to navigate from every sprint plan to its corresponding release plan to its corresponding backlog, from every backlog to the current sprint plans to the current release plans. So usually what you do in planning is you start moving items from your product backlog to release backlog and from there to the sprint backlog and stuff like that. So it's a little bit, having these different kinds of backlogs requires navigation between them. And we will provide in-place navigation so that you don't have to find the plan or the open up the 10 in the Eclipse UI to really go to the next plan that's interesting for you. Right? That makes the whole notion of the 10 and discovering plans there even less important because a sprint plan will always give you direct access to its corresponding release plan. And the release plan will give you direct access to the current and future sprint plans and stuff like that. So the navigation will be much easier and therefore the discoverability of the plans will be much easier because you only have to open up one concrete plan you are interested in and then the rest will be navigating from there and not going to the 10 or searching something in the web UI. What we do as well is for Scrum, when you currently instantiate a Scrum process template in 2.0, we are not creating any client, which makes it hard for users that use Jazz the first time, especially Agile planning, to decide, oh, what plans do I have to create? We first of all have to teach them that they have to create plans as well. And what will change with the 2.002 is that we create the plans for the iterations and the teams. We create during the project area initialization, we create the corresponding plans as well so that they are there out of the box and that the people know they can start with the product backlog and simply fill the product backlog with new stories, right? And don't be confronted with the fact that they first have to figure out how they create a product backlog. I think that are the major areas, setup, navigation, and editability, and basically better affordance to find things, especially around in the web UI and more action support. That's the areas we looked into 2.002. And that was basically, this is 90%, sales or customer feedback driven, right? We had our own feedback internally, but we really took the feedback we got from the field and from the customers and prioritized it and looked for common themes and then distilled the list of items we wanna really fix for 2.002, especially since we think that there were low-hanging fruits around it, like the time, right, where it was, I don't know, a couple of hours coding, right, to get an improved version of it, which really improves the usability then of the tool for the customers and for ourselves.
So I think you've checked the meeting. More people have joined. So still, I think we're open for questions.
Yeah.
Questions on 2.02, questions on problems you have today, and also if you have suggestions for improvement, of course, that's always welcome.
Yes, hi. We were actually wondering, we thought earlier that we would be able to assign one team to different timelines. I think in one of the beta, I think it was discussed in forums and stuff like that, But right now we do realize that actually each team is bound to only one timeline. Is that the required behavior? Because it seems to be like the old development lines we had in version 1.
So this semantic hasn't changed, right? And the rationale behind that is, you know, that the process rules, they are per team and per team line, right? In order to make the process specific to a line, that's the rationale, but there's a trade-off, right? You'd like to assign whole teams to work on multiple things, but then you couldn't have different processes. So it's really a, the issue's understood, but it's a real trade-off here, right?
So actually, the suggested way with the components is with the work item categories. Sorry, is to actually duplicate them. Let's imagine we have a team that works, let's say, on a security module of version 1, and we do create a second timeline that also contains a security module development. So
there's a solution for that, and Dirk will show you that.
Let's create a second timeline here, okay?
Yeah.
And what we don't recommend is that you go down and duplicate all your work item categories, because what you usually can do is you can go here and say, for example, the AJ unit, and now you have the timeline any. So for any timeline, this is associated with the J unit team. And now first we have to create a J unit maintenance team. Okay. And what you can do is when you look at the work item categories dialog, right, you can go and say for the maintenance timeline, right, that these categories are associated with the maintenance team. Okay. There's no need for you to basically go and duplicate the category hierarchy. The category hierarchy in 99% of the cases stays the same. You're only saying, okay, if that category is used and that work item belongs to a maintenance timeline, it belongs to that team that is associated with the maintenance timeline. What you can basically do for every category, for every category timeline combination, you can say which team owns that category on that timeline. And that's, for example, how we set up the whole RTC development. We have the maintenance teams, and we have the usually development teams, which might even be different, right? The maintenance work is most of the time done by different developers than the real development. And then we say, okay, as soon as we decide to fix a bug in a maintenance release, by putting, we still use the same categories, but by assigning it to the maintenance iteration, it is automatically owned by the maintenance team.
Okay,
and
so
all the planning and stuff corners that does.
So actually it's just by specifying the sprint that will have that that work item assigned to the right team in the maintenance.
I don't understand. Yeah, so there's no need to double or to triple your work item categories. Simply assign the categories for the different timelines to different teams.
Okay. I would like to ask a second question, if I may. I know that this, unfortunately, the corporate world violates the agility, like we all know. And the main problem we do have on our end is to actually be able to, since most of the projects we're developing, we're actually billing the customer by the hour that the developers actually spent by week on the project. So we do actually sell them some consultants by the hours and stuff like this. And the problem is that when we do evaluate a task, It's good. This tool works perfectly for evaluating how much time it will take for a task in a certain iteration, a work item in an iteration, stuff like this. But unfortunately, we don't have any tooling that allows the developer to tell us how much time he did actually work each day of the week on that task.
So what you're asking for are timesheets, right?
A kind of timesheet to easily bound with the PCOs and stuff like that.
So right now we don't have that in RTC. Rational Project Conductor provides support for timesheets. But Rational Project Conductor right now is more targeting classical project, traditional project planning. And you cannot apply the timesheet support from Rational Project Conductor to RTC. That's the current limitation. But I think we noticed the desire to have timesheet support as a general facility in RTC.
Because, of course, by having this, we'll have more accurate results since the people have to actually fill in the timesheets if they want to get paid. So actually, we'll have better, the discipline will be much more easier to implement in the team.
Right. No, the benefit is understood. It's just right now, we see now more requests for that coming. I think as more people start to really use Agile planning, I think people are having exactly the same thing as you had. They want to do the next step, also help them with
billing.
Yeah. So we know there's an enhancement. We'll go on our backlog and we will consider it. As usual, we are Agile, so we cannot really promise too much, but it's in our backlog.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Julie from HSBC. I have a question for you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you well.
Hi, Julie. Hi. We are looking for RTC in some scenarios and Linux support. We have some users that ask me questions about some scenarios, Unix support. So do you have any timeline that when you're going to have this functionality?
Server or client? Because I'm not 100% sure if it got dropped and shifted for 2.0 or 2. So there was server support for Solaris. We had but the client support, I think, is not on the radar right now, supporting the client on Solaris.
Okay.
I would have to check with our product manager right now. I know exactly what Dirk said, right? Solaris server, that was on the 2001 plan. Client, I haven't seen.
And that was never really considered having Solaris. So are you more interested in Solaris support for the client or for the server?
For the client.
For the client.
Yeah. Solaris and Linux.
Yeah, Linux is supported on the client.
Linux client, you mean?
Yeah. Linux client is support. Currently we support Linux, Windows, and Mac OS in a preliminary state. These are the three clients we support. On the server, I think there are more operating systems supported. Windows, Linux, Solaris, to my knowledge, IX, but that's something we can definitely find out or ask Rolf, the product manager, what are the supported platforms.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Mm.
I just wanted to add in something. If you want to request that as kind of an enhancement request, you can do so on jazz.net just to kind of get it out into the community and make our developers more aware that there is a need for it. Because I know I've had a couple of customers who have wanted it, but just the more people that want it and the more popularity there is around having the client for Solaris, that puts it more on the plate of the developers to actually get the process moving. So you can definitely open up a request for an enhancement on jazz.net for that.
Okay, thank you. I will create an item for you on jazz.net.
Okay, additional questions?
Not on my side. Thank you.
So I just have the confirmation from Ralph, right? Solaris support for the client is not available right now, and is currently not on our radar. So I guess the right thing to do is file an enhancement request.
If there's no further questions, I'm just going to take this opportunity right now to do a quick survey question, just to find out how useful you thought this session was. Dahlia, can you go ahead with that, please?
Yes, one moment, please. This time we are ready to begin the polling session. There is one question. After the question, please respond by pressing star followed by the appropriate digit on your phone. You will hear a tone upon making your selection. Please respond after the question. One moment, please. How useful did you find this open mic call? Press star 1 for very useful, star 2 for somewhat useful, and star 3 for not useful. It looks like we've received all votes.
Thanks, Dahlia. Dirk, Eric, was there anything you wanted to conclude with, or is there any final questions anyone had?
If somebody has final questions, then of course we can still answer them. Other than that, and I think most of the people know, if you have any further questions, what we can always recommend, go to the news groups. The developers are active on the news group. We really try to be helpful there. We always prefer, even as long as we don't spread any customer relevant or confidential information, we even recommend for inside IBMers to go through the news group, because we always think then more people can profit from the answers than having internal mail exchange. If there's something important you want to let us know about Agile planning, you are always welcome to write me or Eric an email as well, so that we are aware of any issues that you have with customers or with the tool itself. But in general, we always recommend go to jazz.net, open up work items, and go through the news group. Especially if you discover a bug, I really want to encourage you to go to jazz.net and open up the corresponding work items, because that's basically the way how we, in 99% of the cases, track enhancement requests and stuff like that. What we don't have in jazz.net, more or less, doesn't really exist for us.
I think that was a great summary. Nothing from me, so
we give the people back 7 minutes.
Okay, this concludes the session today. I just want to thank Dirk and Eric for joining us, as well as all of you for participating. Please join us next week when we discuss work item and process customization with guest speaker Andre Wienan. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.